Okay, let's jump in. A fresh man, a fresh tickle Gemara. There's plenty to do just in terms of putting together the Gemara carefully, and then we'll see how the Rishonim take different perspectives and see different things in the Gemara and go in different directions from the Gemara. So let's get started. Very bottom of Gimel and Beis, the two dots. Just to remember for a moment where we are in the flow from Beis Amud Aleph, we had a Mishnah that gave us a series of, spoke about a series of four cases, one of which was Mutl B'Machlokas, three were not. And we're still in the midst of the one which is Mutl B'Machlokas, which was the case of Gavomi Aser Mama. I have a sukkah that's overly tall. Sukkah is more than 20 amas tall. It's a machlokas that we saw in the Mishnah. Chacham say Tanakama says no good, and Yehuda says that's entirely fine. So the Gemara began, going back to Dav Beis, trying to figure out, first comparing it to Mishnah and Ervin, and then work that briefly, and then at length trying to figure out what's the rationale for this din. Why is it that Esther Mama? We saw three reasons the Gemara and Beis went off, and a phantom fourth reason, Tosis and Beis and Beis had raised. The Gemara worked on trying to prove one way or the other. And then the Gemara had mentioned in the course of that discussion, the Gemara made reference to the, in the course of the discussion about the height of the sukkah, the Gemara made reference to the footprint, to the length and width. So that got the Gemara to start on Gimel and Aleph about length and width, and that led in turn to the discussion about other cases where you need Dalet al Dalet. They had that whole Braisa, Gimel and Aleph, and they go on to know, does it necessarily follow that Braisa would hold like Rabbi Anasi, that Sukkah does require Dalet al Dalet, or is it not the same? And the Gemara had a discussion, of the course of Gimel and Beis, about the different cases, about the Eruv, and we spoke about Makkah. Okay. And that leaves us off to the two dots at the bottom of Gimel and Beis. And now the Gemara is going to have fresh conversations. As you see, this is one of those rare places where you have single dots over the course of Dalet and Aleph. There will be a series of cases of Haisa Gavome Eser Amah and blank. The first one is a different twist on Gavome Eser Amah. Gavome Eser Amah is possible. The Pasim clearly, like the Tanakam against Rabbi Yehuda, but we're going to go out and have a series of wrinkles. So here's the first wrinkle. Here's the first twist. Hi, so go on, Master. Mama Balamata. The Karma Vixasas. It'll tell you, have a sukkah and it's too tall. So the Mishnah says, what does the Mishnah say? You might, right? No, our Mishnah does not say you might, right? We have to be spoken on Beis Amud. Mishnah says, Psula. Right? Possible. Okay, but Lamaisa, that means the Mishnah didn't tell you what to do, but obviously you want us to either find a new sukkah or figure out a way to make this a shorter sukkah. Now, how are you going to make this a shorter sukkah? There are two ways to make it a shorter sukkah.
Lower the roof or raise the floor.
Now, lower the roof is probably going to be complicated, probably be more expensive. It's going to require doing construction at a height of over 20 amas, which is not a simple thing, especially if you live a couple centuries before the creation of the crane and the cherry picker. So what are you going to do? It could be you could do that. Probably simpler is just the walls are what they are, but let's raise the floor. Especially if it's only a matter of an amma or two, let's just raise the floor and we'll be done with it. I said, Gavomi Eser Amah Balamata. I want to invite from the floor up. Rashi says, Balamata Lema'et Gova Chalala Mikaf. I want to reduce the height of the empty space. There's a pillar of empty space inside, from the floor to the schach. So I want to reduce that. In order to reduce that, v'nosim b'karki isa lehagbiya. I'm going to put something on the ground level in order to raise it. The Gemara didn't say that explicitly, but it's pretty clear. You might b'kar m'v'ksaso, so it doesn't mean that you're adding them to the bottom of your schach. Number one, that would be very difficult. Number two, they're not kosher for schach. But obviously, I'm putting them on the floor. Right, the opening Rashi laid out what it is that we're learning here. Piskei Shmuel, saying Rashi said, "Shall call bnei yeshivish hay b'midrashos Rav Ashi shesidra ha'gemar." Very fascinating historical moment with Rashi. He says we're going to have a whole series of piskei dinim. He says these are from the later Amoran. But look at it. We're now done with analyzing the Mishnah per se, and now we're discussing the topic that the Mishnah raised. We're not analyzing the Mishnah. Okay. So you might become vixasos. So the Gemara says nothing doing. Lo havi miut. Rashi says it. Gemara says it doesn't help. It doesn't help. Even though you mevatel it, it doesn't help. But lo daitu etzakadim. So Rashi says, why me lo havi miut? Why not? I have a bunch of mattresses. I have a whole bale of pillows, and I empty them all onto the bottom of the onto the floor of the sukkah, and I raise the height by 2, 3, 4 feet. So what's wrong? What's wrong? Doesn't help. Why not? What do you mean? Doesn't exist. They exist. They're there. From the top of the, I stacked up 5 mattresses. From the top of the top mattress to the schach is only 19 amas. So what's wrong? What's wrong? What's the problem? Don't all jump at once. What did Rashi say? And so for loniach sham kol shiva, they have to memono. Rashi lays out, it's very simple sounding Rashi, but Rashi tells right away, the issue is, it needs to be there for a full 7 days. The reason why we're worried that you're not going to leave mattresses out there for 7 days, it's going to get ruined. We would say, living in the northeastern United States, it's going to get rained on. So in Eretz Yisrael, it rarely rains on the during sukkahs. I don't know, though, what the story is. Rashi just told us these piskos were from Bavel. These are not Tanon. This is Amoraim. So I'm not sure. In Eretz Yisrael, it rarely rains on sukkahs. I'm not sure that's the case in Iraq as well. Someone has to check the weather reports from a couple months ago. But I don't know if that means rain or just it's going to get dusty. It's going to get dirty. It's going to get stepped on. Who leaves mattresses on the floor, pillows on the floor for 7 days? Everyone's walking around eating on it, walking on with their shoes. That's gross. It's going to get ruined. It's going to get ruined. You're going to, maybe it won't fall apart, but it'll be ruined. Have some mimono. So I don't want to ruin my stuff. So, hey, you need me to put out a mattress for a few hours so that to raise it fine, but we're going to take it out. We're not going to leave it there all day, all night. Maybe when we need to eat there, we need to sleep there, we'll bring it out. We need more, we need to use the whole sukkah, we'll cover the whole sukkah with 5 mattresses. We only need one corner, we'll bring out one mattress. We're not going to leave there for 7 days, says Rashi. Who's going to do that? That's very unlikely. That's very unlikely. Now, before we even go on, so that's really just something worth savoring. I wouldn't have thought so if I have asked you. Does it have to be the case? Does a floor only count if it's permanent? And you ask a question. Let's say I build a sukkah, and I intend to take the sukkah down tomorrow. Right? We're going on a camping trip, so chol moed sukkahs. So we build our own sukkah, natural. We build a shelter using natural materials at hand, and we're going to take it apart when we go because leave no trace. Now, you're not going to leave your structure there. You build it for a night, then you take it apart. Or you bring along a pop-up sukkah. Or sometimes people have, if you bring enough materials, I'll open the 2 doors of my car, and I'll put something below the 2 doors. It goes down to the ground. I'll put schach across the top and shine. We have a quick sukkah, and we'll eat lunch, and then we'll take it apart. We're not going to leave it that way. I mean, you're going to close the car doors afterwards. So is a non-permanent sukkah not good? Anyone know? Is there a mission about that? What do the Tanaim say? Does the sukkah have to be the Chal Shiva?
Yes, the Roy
Shiva. That's the Roy L'Shiva. Okay, good.
So, even though you're going to take it down, if it's possible for it to sit for 7 days, then maybe that's okay. But if it's hard with vessels that are going to be stepped on with money and take it out, and it's not going to last for 7 days. I don't know if that, maybe it could, but it's not.
It
could last just as much as anything else could last.
What are you going to say? No? Schnee? No? So the walls don't have to be... I don't have to intend, right? The Tana Reb Elezer, in the second parak, says you actually have to eat all your meals in the same sukkah. Mamash, in the same sukkah. And to build a sukkah on Chol Moed is... He's not okay with because you have to be living the same sukkah all 7 days. We don't pass the sukkah blazer. You could build a sukkah in Chol Moed. Build a sukkah in Chol Moed, by definition, it's not L'chol Shiva. So what's going on here? So the answer is obviously, it's not that there's a rule that a sukkah has to last. The question is just, presumably, is this a floor? Is this floor or is this stuff on the floor? Because I need to know that from my floor to my schach is not more than 20 amos. Right? So let's say I'm in a 21 amos sukkah. I'm not going to eat cross-legged on the floor, Indian style. And we eat a chair and table. Fine. So look, from my table to the schach is less than 20 amos. Yeah, so yeah, but that's not the floor. That's furniture in the house. Moshul Mahadavar Doma, going back to a sugi we dealt with last semester, where we talk about the topic of dalet al dalet. You have to have a bayis sheyesh bo dalet al dalet, b'chayv mezuzah, b'chayv makkah, and so on and so forth. Right, so it comes up most often in mezuzah, because I don't get many bateri chomer shayos, but mezuzah shayos come up. So you have to figure out, is this room dalet al dalet? That comes up kaseder. So if I want to figure out, does this room dalet al dalet, so I could bring a tape measure, what am I measuring? I'm looking at a bedroom. Is the bedroom dalet al dalet? Well, I mean, there's a dresser in the way, there are beds. So there is an open floor space of dalet, a dining room. Well, there's a dining room table in the middle. How about this sheer room? Is there dalet al dalet? I mean, but the floor is, you know, there are little bits of space between the desks. But this room is chayv mezuzah. Why? Because that's furniture. That's not wall. Those aren't walls. Those aren't floors. That's furniture in the room. So when you measure dalet al dalet for the dining room, you can measure from wall to wall, even though there's a dining room table in the middle. But if you're in a kitchen, or in a laundry room, the oven, which is attached by gas pipes to the wall, or the dryer, which is attached by gas pipes to the wall, that doesn't count as floor space. That's mamish permanently installed. That's the line that many posts can draw. So that's ki'ilu, like part of the wall. That's part of the building. So if I'm measuring from wall to wall, the washer dryer don't count. They're wall. They're not floor. But the dining table, the chairs, those are floor. So maybe not the same, but it sounds like a similar svara is at play here. I want to figure out, did I raise the floor, or I just put stuff on top of the floor? Like the chairs. I'm sitting on a chair from the surface of the seat of the chair to the schach less than 20 amos. But that's not called l'chora, that's still called l'mal me'esim. From the floor to the schach is more than 20 amos, that's a problem. I haven't seen it on a chair yet. But that's not the floor of the sukkah. That's something on the floor. So that sounds like we're right, again, in Mamash, a golden Rashi. So they say Rashi wrote with gold ink, not literally. Better than literally. It was more precious than gold. But he wrote with, the words are, every word matters. And there could be so much meaning packed into just a few words. So when Rashi tells us, Lo havimiyah, the reason why lo havimiyah is because you're not going to leave her there long enough. Because right now you're leaving it there. You're leaving it for the course of your sleeping tonight. You're leaving it for the course of your meal. But that's not enough. If it's not here for the course of all of sukkahs, then even though the walls didn't have to last for all seven, but here, where it's be'etzem, it's not a wall. Be'etzem, it's not a floor. It's a thing. It's furniture. It's metalikum. It's a mattress. So if you want to make, say, it's no longer a mattress, now it's a floor, it has to be there, l'chol shiva. That's what Rashi sounds like. The concept that he's laying out for us. Let's see a little more, then we'll stop for questions. Actually, let's stop for questions now. Yeah?
Are we being back to your floor in general, floor than you have a sukkah?
Lamayin af kamina.
I mean, if it's just a hagdara of
Very good point. Rashi, we'll see. Not everyone agrees with Rashi. Rashi seems to be assumed. It's assumed that Rashi means for the course of sukkahs. In other words, for as long as this halacha is relevant. So we're going to have to think. Well, we'll see. Let's say we talk about it. There are similar things that will come out. Anyone have a chance to take a look at any of those Mishnayos in Erevin or not? No. Yes. A little bit. So let's say we're going to talk about filling in spaces. There's a ditch, but I filled it with stuff. So is it still considered to be a ditch, or is it considered to be a floor? So there, maybe the equivalent would be for the course of Shabbos, one day. Right? The assumption is seven is not a shear of 7 days. I think it's usually assumed, and we're going to see Rishon will be dealing with this, but I think it's usually Rashi means for the course of Sukkos. As a matter of fact, if you did this Chol Moed, then you probably would only need, you know, 4 or 5 days, whatever it is, until Sukkot is over. So let's take a look. Avagav de Batlinu, Gemara says. Going to the top of the Amav. Avagav de Batlinu. Even though I was mevatel them. Right? We said, it's no good. You bring in your mattresses and your pillows, your car maksosas, nothing doing pasul Sukkah. It's like sitting on a chair. You didn't raise the floor, you just threw stuff on top of the floor. If you haven't raised the floor, it's still a Sukkah, which is Lamami Asramam. Then the Gemara says, even a Batlinu. It was mevatel them. Why? Rishon de batal daito etzakal adam. Sounds like bittel, like a bittel chametz. No? Can do bittel. Ah, these are our floor now. These are not pillows and mattresses. These are our floor. Neh, batal daito etzakal adam. Well, what was batlin to me? Even though you were mevatel, but it doesn't count because here's the play on words. Your das is batal to that of other people in a different sense of your bittel is batal. What's going on? What do you mean? I forgot about Linu. Even though I was mevatel, what does it mean to mevatel them? Rashi says, "I mean l'chol shiva." Sounds like even though I do intend, who would leave pillows on the floor for all 7 days? You're going to ruin your pillows. So look, maybe I'll say, "Look, I need a kosher sukkah." The alternative is to spend $1,000 to lower the top. So okay, so I'll take a loss on the pillows. Sure, so maybe I have to throw out the. It'll cost me $50. Buy $50 of pillows. Okay, so I maybe have to throw them out when Sukkot is over. It's worth it, because it's cheaper than an alternative. I'll pay $50 to have a kosher Sukkot. Or I'll save it for next year. These will be my Sukkot floor pillows. Whatever. Okay. Let's say I decide that I'm going to do it. Gemara says it doesn't matter. Batla daito etzal kalatim. Your das is batal to others. That's a concept which comes up elsewhere more. The Gemara says in terms of determining what's normal and abnormal, subjective decision, subjective preference, subjective personal decisions play a role, but only to an extent. So, I could have a piece of wood that's just raw lumber, or I could intend to use that piece of wood as a paperweight. Both are reasonable. Most people don't use wood as a paperweight, but some people would. I have a rock. It could just be a rock, or it could be a paperweight. So the stam is that it's a rock, and it's not anything useful, and therefore it's muksa. But if I designate it as a paperweight, okay, so now it's a paperweight. Right? So there is a role in halacha for personal subjective preference and decisions. But sometimes, if what I'm saying is like so far off the, so many standard deviations from the norm, so far off the norm, that doesn't, my personal decision doesn't matter. I decided that I'm going to use as mattresses as a floor. That's just like bizarre. 1%, less than 1% of the population. I don't know. Make up numbers. Such a tiny percentage of the population would do that. That even though I had that das, and I mean it, and I'm serious, it doesn't count. But lo dai to etzel das bnei adam, because it's so incredibly rare, it doesn't take effect. And my intent to leave there for 7 days, even though it's honest and genuine, it doesn't have halachic significance. So even though I said I'm going to leave there for all 7 days, it doesn't matter. It's still not a floor. And your sukkah is still pasul. So that is number one. Because you're dealing with kar muksasos, so you're dealing with the pillows and the mattresses. So even if you did real bittel, your sukkah is still pasul. Even bittel won't help you. Yeah. Then the Gemara says, okay, but let's say, okay, so mattresses are no good. Mattresses, anyways, are not really the most cost-effective way to do this. Mattresses are expensive, and what you pay per square foot is going to be relatively high. Why not pick something else that's cheaper? And if something's cheaper, people are more likely to be open to using it as filler, stuffing for your floor. So, teven ubitlo. How about if you have teven? Ooh! Teven ubitlo. But if you have straw in your mevatlet, that having it, that taka works.
To have teven, now already, my sukkah's chair. That's good. That's a meal.
Oh, you put down straw. Straw is not as valuable as a mattress. Straw costs a lot less. There's a lot less work that goes into making it. How about you wouldn't use it necessarily for so many other things without processing it further. You can make into a pillow, but you have to make into a pillow. I mean, you could feed it to the animals. Okay, so a person is mavatal the tevin, the mavatal the straw. They're ready. What I have a bale of hay and put down a couple of bales of hay. I'm living on the farm. I took off the top of my silo to make a sukkah. I put schach on top. Then I realized the silo is 25 amos high. Okay, so we'll fill the bottom with bales of hay and mavatal it for sukkahs. Rashi says tevin ubitlo befiv l'shiv. We'll come back to Rashi in a moment. Mavatal for 7 days. That's good. V'chol shekein offer ubitlo. The kol shekein offer bitlo. And certainly, if it's dirt, and as mevatel it, gevaldik. That's certainly a kosher sukkah. It's even better. Right? Why is dirt even better? Huh? Even less. Right? I can't. It's not animal food. You can't cart it away to give it to the animals. And also, what is dirt usually used for? Huh? If you've ever driven by a construction site in its early stages, you know that the first material they use is dirt. That's what you build with. And certainly back in the Friedrich yard. So this seems like an eminently reasonable way to build a floor. Question.
Why at least by 7 is there no construction best
in the world? That's what I was saying before. It's worth less per, not per pound, but it's worth less per square foot than a mattress. Yeah, but
well, it's also something you might actually use tevin for. With the mattresses, you're thinking, oh, I'm losing out so much on the mattresses.
Right, so there are two things. Number one, you're not losing as much. You need to use something. So to be wasting $50, nowadays a good mattress could be a couple hundred dollars. You're going to throw a couple hundred dollars to make a, like, who would do this? So few people would actually leave it there for 7 days. But the straw is a few dollars worth of straw. It's okay, fine, so it's worth it. And you're less likely to say, oh, we need it somewhere else. Whereas the mattress is a mattress that's already a kli, it's already a formed kli that's used for other things. The tevin can be made into a kli, but it's not yet made into a kli. It can be used as animal food. So it's less likely to be called into service elsewhere. And the court, that's basic economics. In other words, of course, I'm going to have to pay something to get the value that I need. If I need to raise the floor, I'm going to have to pay to raise the floor. The question is, if I have two options, I could use a $500 item or a $5 item. Yeah. And I would say, from economic reasons, an inappropriate hefzid mamon. Of course I'm going to have to pay. Whatever I'm going to put down is going to cost something, but it's not consistent with the degree of need. This need shouldn't cost $500 to cover. It should cost $10, $15, whatever. But to be spending $500, that just doesn't make sense. I'm likely to take it away. And also, there's another thing also, which is, I'm not sure that straw necessarily is going to get ruined. But people will step on it for a few days. It was probably dirty before also. The straw wasn't pristine. It came from the field. It was muddy. It was dirty. Okay, so now I walked around with my dirty shoes. Okay, so maybe it got a little tamped down. Maybe the animals won't like as much. So I'll take a pitchfork after Sukkot is over, and I'll stir it up and aerate it and freshen it up and shine. But I can't just stick a pitchfork into my mattress after Sukkot is over. Is not going to solve any problems. It's okay for all those reasons. The tevin is less of a it's more reasonable to leave it then. And then the Gemara goes on to say, well, now let's build out the next dimension, the other dimension of our chart. I will look at different materials. How about different ways of treating it? Right, so now the guard goes on to say, well, how about tevin v'nosu lefanoso? I have straw that I do not intend to take away.
V'nosu lefanoso. I do not intend to take it away.
Straw. Right, so karmic sauces, even from mamash from a vatel, it's no good. So certainly all these cases are, right? This is no good. But these are clearly no good. Okay. Question is, tevin, if I was mamash from a vatel, that's kosher. How about if I wasn't a vatel, but I don't intend to take it away? That's a question. And then there was another question. What's the next question? Afar, stam.
Stam means it's a blank.
Blank meaning haven't decided. I don't intend to leave it here. I don't intend to not leave it here. I haven't really thought about it yet. It's just default.
But offer
is the most naturally batel. How about if it's offer stam? or half of his teven, then he has to lefanoso. So how far can we push? This case is kosher. How about if we push it further? So what does the Gemara say? What does the Gemara say? Is that good? Is it not good? Machleik, says, it really is a question mark. Right? So taka machleikis, depends who you ask. Where's the machlokes? A Mishnah in a Holos. Yeah. Okay, Tosus points out the long Tosus. Diyamas Chabayis points out this is not an exact quotation of the Mishnah. Tosus actually develops the idea that here he says it's Derech HaTalmud. It's kedai to see this line inside. If you're looking in Tosus Bayis, around 10 lines into the narrow lines, Derech HaTalmud Lekatzer Mishnayos Shal Seder Taharos Kishem Mivim. Tosus makes a comment about Talmudic style. It's the style of the Amoraim to often paraphrase Mishnayos and Taharos. That we'll just try to get the key nugget that we need rather than quoting the whole Mishnah verbatim. Because Tosus points out that if you actually look up the Mishnah, take out Ahalos, and you look up Perek Tes Vav Mishnah Zayin, which is deep, deep into Ahalos, so you'll find that the language of the Mishnah is more complex than the way it's presented here. Tosus says, we're not quoting a Braisa. This is a quote. The Disnan is correct. It is a quote from the Mishnah. But Tosus says, that's all from the style of Talmud Bavli that will summarize and paraphrase Mishnayos and Taharos when they're being quoted. So how is the Gemara presented? Disnan. Here we are, four lines from the top of Dalam and Aleph in the Gemara. Disnan. Baishimil ahu tevenot sroros. I have a house that I filled up with straw or with pebbles, gravel, the equivalent of afar. Ubitlo. Elz mevatlet. So mevuto. So then it's batal. Why am I filling up a house with straw, and why does it matter whether it's batal or not? There's not with respect to sukkah. There's respect to Tumas Mace. Right, what does it have to do with Tumas Mace? The fellow's already passed away. So what's the significance of whether the house is full or not? Because, as the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of the first parak of Kalim, there are things, a 90-second orientation to Taurus. an item might be tummy for two reasons, in the broadest of terms. It might be time because of what it is, or it might be time because it caught tumma from something else. Now, there's a list of 10, 15, 20 different items. The Torah says they are tame because of who or what they are. A person who is a mitzora is tame because he is a mitzora. A piece of an animal that died without proper shechita, it's tame because it is nevel. Because of what it is, because of who he is, because of what he is. A stone from a house that had tzaras, tame. Why? Didn't get tumma from something else. The halacha says stones of a house that have tzaras are tame. That's what we call an av hatuma. It's a source of tuma. A mace also, a twist in how we refer to a mace. We refer to a mace as avievos hatuma. But conceptually speaking, it's the same thing. A human corpse or part of a human corpse is tame because that didn't get tuma from the malchama. It got tuma because it touched the malchamas. It's tame because a mace is tame. It's an av hatuma. Okay, we call it avievos hatuma, but that distinction is not relevant right now. And then you have things which aren't tame because of what they are, but are tame because they somehow contracted, they caught the tumor from an avatumah, or from something which caught the tumor from an avatumah. That's what we call a rishonal tumor, a shenal tumor, as it goes down stages away from the avatumah. So, one question, basic question you ask when you look at the different avos hatumah, the mace, the metzora, the nevel, and so on and so forth, is how many different ways can it transmit its tumor? So some things can only transmit tumma by touch, maga. Some can also transmit tumma by being carried, call that masa. And mace, a human corpse, transmits tumma in three different ways: maga, masa, and oha. If you touch a mace, you become tame. If you carry a mace, you become tame. Or if you're an oha, literally a tent, which means either the three ways it could look. It could be that I am on top of the mace, or the mace is on top of me, or we are under the same common roof. That's what we usually think about Allah. If you go to a levaya, walk into a funeral parlor, and there's the maces up front, I don't go because I'm a kohen. If you're not a kohen, you go, so that's a mitzvah, and you can't die. No contradiction. You're the mitzvah.
And you become tamei. Why? Because you and the mace are under the same roof. That's tumas ohal. There are a lot of rules about tumas ohal. Ahalas is 18 prakim long. Rav Hashem, one of the longest and one of the most complex mesechtas. It's clear that Hanan thought that as well. They talk about Nagam and Ahalas, sort of as 18 prakim ahalas. And they talk about Nagam and Ahalas as sort of like the paradigms of hard topics.
But the details are hard, but the principles aren't necessarily so hard. So in terms of this concept of Ohel, one thing you have to know, and that's why I asked you to take a look at the introduction of Kahat, introduction to Mishnayos, which are, by the way, gold. I think I may have mentioned it in the past. I thought to myself in the past to just sit down, and I think I may have mentioned it before winter break, right? Just sit down and read through the introductions. There's a lot you learn. So anyhow, so the idea that appears repeatedly in Mishnayos Ahalos, is that the definition of an ohel is that you have a tefach cubed of empty space. So you have to have empty space that's covered by a roof. The roof has to be a tefach by a tefach, and the height has to be at least a tefach. So if you have that amount of space, then, or it could be more, it could be many amos also, but the minimum of a tefach by tefach by tefach, so that's called an ohel, covered, that's called an ohel, and if there is a mace and someone or something else in the same ohel, so the tumah will spread to the someone or something else. If all the space is filled up, there's not an ohel. Okay. So if there's no space, If you have a person, let's say at war, and there are soldiers who have died, and there are soldiers who are injured. And at one point, they're lying side by side, trying to sort out, the mason have to be taken care of properly, obviously the injured people have to be taken care of properly. Let's imagine at one point there was a blanket covering the two of them. A live person and a mace side by side. They're covered by a blanket. But there was no space. There was no space. It was just blanket directly. There wasn't a tefach of empty space above. So that's not an ohel. You don't have an ohel. Right? So here we say, now we come back to this Mishnah. And that idea, by the way, we call a poseach tefach. You need that empty space of a tefach by tefach or tefach. Or if you want, let's say if that window was open, tumah could come through if the window is a tefach by tefach. Tefach is a shear for open space for olal purposes. So the question is, let's say I have a building, but it's full of stuffing. So now this is very similar to our sukkah question. Do we say, look, this is a big, from the floor to ceiling, from wall to wall, it's many feet. It's many amos, yeah, but it's all full of hay. I have a silo, and it's mamish floor to ceiling full of hay, stuffed in all the hay. And then there's a mace over here, and there's a kli over there. There's a mace over here, and there's a person over there. There's a mace over here, and there's food over there. The silo is very big, but it's all full of straw. So that's what the Mishnah, that's what the Gemara here quotes from this Mishnah in Olos, that if you stuffed it with gravel or you stuffed it with straw and bitlo and you mevatel it, so then it's mevutal. So then that's considered to be now part of the walls, part of the floor, part of the ceiling. So now you talk about it, you no longer have a tefach by tefach by tefach of empty space. But apparently it's only bitlo. If you were mevatel it, then it doesn't work. So the Tana of the Mishnah would say this is no good. This is not batel. This is not memait. V'tani Allah, and then we have a brisa connected to that Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Omer Teven Vein Asid Lifanoso Hayoka Afar Stam Ubatel. That Teven over here, the straw you don't plan to cart away, is like random soil, default soil, and that for Yossi is Mimait, but these two cases not. These two cases, everyone agrees is no good. These two cases are a machlokas. I'll leave you, the bell just rang, so I'll leave you with the two obvious questions stand out, and we'll pick up tomorrow. Number one, this box had not been dealt with. What's the status of Afar, Vein Asu Lefanoso, which the Gemara didn't raise? And the other question is, What do you mean? Bitlo as opposed to low bitlo. Well, einos lefanoso, why are we doing this? Isn't that bottle? You don't plan to take it away. Or should I say, you plan to not take it away. But it's not stam. You thought about it. Stam is like, I don't even know. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. You thought about it. And you plan to leave it here. So why is there a differentiating between einos lefanoso and bitlo? Those are different cases. Right? This is us lefanoso. So this is one problem. And this is another problem.
We shall continue with Shem tomorrow. Have you enjoy your lunch?